Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Happy to have you along today when we take a look at a part of farming that I think not as associated with Wisconsin as dairy cows, but I tell you what, we have a rich tradition of sheep, raising sheep, and a thriving sheep industry here in the state of Wisconsin. Want to tell you a little bit about it. And also about the Wisconsin Sheep and Wool Festival that's coming up pretty darn soon. And a couple of guests for you today. Ray Antonovich, who owns AZ Farm in Oregon, Wisconsin, where they raise sheep, chickens, and rabbits. Ray, always great to have you with us.
Well, thank you. I enjoy being here.
And Sue Ellen Thompson Link, owns and runs Kinkuna Farm near Broadhead, and you raise sheep. Sue Ellen?
Yes, we do. There's plenty of other animals there as well, but sheep do well.
Sheep do pretty well there, and you're from Australia, and I think they still have one or two sheep in Australia.
Yeah, I thought I'd bring some sheep to Wisconsin.
That's how you wound up in Wisconsin? How'd you wind up here?
It was just a typical Australian thing, you know, wandering around the world.
And landed here and said, why not stay for a while?
Yeah, I'll grow some sheep around this area.
Oh, that's good. That's good to know. We'll talk with them about raising sheep and raising sheep for wool or for meat, and certainly answer your questions as well. You may have some fiber questions. You knit or use other types of fiber art. What might attract you to wool for that as a material to use? How about local fitting into your priorities when it comes to meat to buy? Give us a call with your questions and comments at 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@WPR.org, or you can post on my Facebook page as well at The Larry Mueller Show. Love to hear from you. And thanks a lot for listening in today. And the Sheep and Wool Festival, Ray, it's coming up the 7th through the 9th, so that's Friday through Sunday. Is that
right?
How did that get started?
It kind of got started from another sheep, the Wisconsin Sheep Industry Conference. And then in 2001, it kind of changed a little bit, quite a bit, and mm-hmm. it has really been growing since. And so it's still a sheep industry activity. And we've got a lot more things going. You mentioned Wisconsin and the dairy as far as, well, we get dairy, milk, and we get cheese as a product. We have the same thing with sheep. We do have dairy sheep that we do milk and then make cheese from that milk. And Wisconsin is a noted authority and producer of cheese from cow's milk, but also as far as sheep milk. We're one of the leading states in the U.S. as far as producing the sheep cheese. And this year, we will have a cooking demonstration, and Jack will be using grass-fed lamb in this, and also involving sheep cheese this.
Well, you know, obviously cows, cheese from cattle or our dairy cattle are, you know, all have eaten that, and goat cheese has gotten very popular, and now sheep.
Right, right. Yeah. It's very good. I enjoy it myself.
Well, Sue Ellen, maybe you could tell us a little bit about your farm operation. You own Kinkuna Farms near Broadhead.
That's right. We've got quite a diversified approach here to the sheep industry. We've got our main focus is actually the fiber. Mm-hmm. So what we do is use the wool, and our primary product is to raise something that's chemical-free, and we make organic bedding.
Oh.
So we make the comforters and mattress toppers and pillows and many other products that actually can come from the wool, a little bit diversified.
And all organic.
All organic. Oh. And chemical-free. There's actually a large population out there now that are quite chemically sensitive. So this really is a niche market that's been quite successful.
Oh, that's wonderful. How many sheep do you raise on your farm?
We're running about 170 sheep at the moment.
Pretty good
so
number.
We've got a diversified type of breed range. And they're not all just for the meat. So we really are interested in the fibers they produce.
Yeah, and Ray? Tell us about your place.
Well, we kind of diversified, but still somewhat typical in that we do produce lamb as far as the meat, and right now we're really getting into that aspect, and so we're keeping busy as far as providing, selling freezer lambs and mm-hmm. individual cuts of lamb also directly at the farm. And then with the wool, we do produce wool, and we've been doing real good. Mm-hmm. Just about all of our wool that was produced within the last year that we got off the sheep as far as shearing in February is all gone. We did save a few fleeces that we will be showing in a competition at the Sheep and Wool Festival.
You know, Paul in Schulzberg has a comment or question for you guys, so let's go there. Paul, hi, thank you for calling.
Good morning. We are also sheep producers, and three times now we have taken a call you over to the processing plant, and we've had it made into summer sausage. And, you know, that you get a lot more out of that than you would just selling it, say, as a call you on the market where you don't get much. And it's people, I guess, call use mutton, but you would never know that with this stuff. It's just really good.
Hmm. So this is adding value to a product out there, Sue Ellen.
That's exactly right. I totally agree. I think these days people really need to figure out how to expand on what they produce.
Sounds now, pretty good.
This is for our own use. Now, if you want to take it over there, and I'm sure that you could arrange to sell it or whatever, but so far this has basically been our own use, and we give it to, say, friends or something, and everybody likes it.
Hmm. Thanks, Paul. Appreciate your call. So that's, both of you have done a fair amount of diversifying within your operation. Certainly, Ray, you and I have talked about this before.
Yes, we have made brats out of lambs and also out of cold ewes. If you know what you're doing here, it's a little different process, but there is a good product that can be available there.
If you'd like to join in talking sheep and wool, the Sheep and Wool Festival, which is coming up the September 7th through the 9th, and that's obviously just a couple days away now, as a matter of fact. Ray Antonovich of AZ Farm in Oregon and Sue Ellen Thompson-Link, who owns and runs Kinkuna Farm near Broadhead and raises sheep as well. She's originally from Australia. So great to have both of them with us. Thank you for listening in. You can call us at 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org or go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show, and you can post a question or a comment there. Kinkuna, that's an interesting name, by the way. What is Kinkuna? What does that mean?
Well, actually, it's an Aboriginal word for laughter.
Wonderful.
My children and I moved to the farm, and it's always been a sense of community there, and laughter certainly is part of what we do. So it felt a really appropriate name for the farm.
And you also actually run camps, do you not?
Yeah, we do children's summer camps. And it's been a wonderful thing. I'm also a therapist working with challenged children. So it's quite exciting to be able to bring kids to the farm. I mean, it does amaze me these days. I'm watching the frustration tolerance of kids drop. I'm watching kids come that don't know how to use a shovel or a broom or aren't used to running around in bare feet. So I really feel like something that we can offer that's of a lot of value.
Yeah. And do you have a website, by the way?
We have a website, yeah. Our website is The Barbar Shop. It's actually a spoof on how I say to go to the barber. our logo is a sheep sitting in a barber's chair.
The Barbar Shop.
The Barbar Shop. But it's B-A-A-B-A-A Shop.
Oh, okay. B-A-A. Two A's.
Yeah, we've actually got the sound. You know, the children's book bar.
And Ray, of course, you do get involved with kids all the time, during lambing season in particular. Mm-hmm.
Yes. We have a good turnout there, and there are hundreds of people that come on those Sundays when we have the lambing barn in March.
Yeah, and always a lot of fun. We've been there many times.
Oh, good!
Lots of photos from that every year. I noticed that there two or three years in a row I wore the same coat. Oh. Which I'm coming back. I'm looking at those pictures from over the years. I thought, gee, I wore that second. That coat was a favorite coat, I guess.
Oh, well,
there's
must
definitely
be
an interest.
There is a lot of interest in that. Do you do that lambing too?
I don't do the lambing, but I have Head Start kids coming. Ah. I have garden clubs. We also like permaculture and a lot of sustainability. So I do a lot of teaching off the farm with that type of approach constantly. Families wanting to visit constantly.
Well, and speaking of teaching, a lot of that's going to go on at the festival.
Yes.
Every year. I know Barb in Mondovi has a comment on the festival, so let's go to her. Barb, thanks for calling. Hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I've gone every year since it started, and the first thing that drew us down there were the sheepdog trials. Mm-hmm. Not just the demonstrations, but we wanted to see actual trials because we had seen those in Maine. And then that just progressed into going back and watching the different judging and then taking classes. And it's amazing to see how it has grown since it started with all the new vendors that are there. And a lot of people save up their money because this is the time that they go back and then support local the local sheep farmers in the state or all across the country. And so it's an exciting festival, and everyone is so friendly and so wonderful. And now we have quite a group that we just go down on Thursday nights and throw our tents up, and then we're there all weekend.
Oh, cool. And speaking of there, that's so nice comments. I want to make sure we get the proper location in. So where is it located, Ray?
It's at the Jefferson County Fairgrounds at Jefferson, Wisconsin. Now, that's just a short jaunt from the Madison area and very accessible as far as from the rest of the state. We've got Interstate not too far away, and then take Highway 26 south off the interstate near Johnson's Creek, and you're there. And there's a lot of things to do. The camping is fine also, and there are other lodging available. But you don't have to be a sheep person, a producer or such there. But there's a lot of educational aspects as far as the fiber arts and the producer area are concerned. And so it is something I think that everybody would enjoy. And there's just a lot to see there. So plan to come and go around. We've got something for just about everybody. On Friday, we'll be devoting that time to what we call the Sheep 101. And this is a workshop for the people who are interested in getting into sheep or maybe don't have a lot of experience, but we'll be putting emphasis on this. And it is a special section of the Sheep and Wool Festival, and there is a registration fee for that. And if you check the website, we can give you information. We have, as of last Friday, we have 40 people enrolled in that one.
Oh.
And that's a good sign as far as interest in the sheep industry.
And Barb, you, what attracts you the most?
Well, the classes. The classes have exceptional teachers. And so this is the first year I'm taking two full day classes. And, everything attracts me to go down there. It's fun to wander through the vendors' booths, and you get to meet the people that you meet them year after year after year, and you look forward to seeing them again.
So,
and seeing how they're doing and how their kids are doing. And so it's a great festival. And, I'll be looking up Sue Ellen. I'll be looking up your booth because I have a grandbaby coming, and so I'm going to have some, organic, things to put in their crib. So
That'll be fun. The kids and I will be there.
So, looking forward. This is my vacation each year, so I'm looking forward to it.
Thanks, Barb.
Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate it very much.
References made as far as the classes. We've got one class that pulled so fast that we could have had her going constantly. This is on making sheep milk cheese.
Oh.
That closed about a week after the catalogs went out. There's a lot of interest in it. And many of the fiber arts classes are full. And there's still some opening, and you probably find something that is of interest to you. But
I think we have a link to on my Facebook page. I'm pretty sure. Where'd it go? I'm pretty sure we've got a link on the Facebook page to the site, as well as to your sites as well.
That's good.
Well, if we don't, Judith will have them up in about 2 minutes. She's really fast on things like that. Wonderful, as a matter of fact, on things like that. So, and I'm trying to do a little work here with the computer. But let's go to Michelle in Black River Falls. Michelle, we'll get to you in just a minute. Just a reminder, Ray Antonovich of AZ Farms in Oregon, Wisconsin, Sue Ellen Thompson Link of Cancuna Farm near Broadhead, our guests here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Talking the Wisconsin Sheep and Wool Festival, which is coming right up, the 7th through the 9th, correct? Am I right on that?
Right.
7th through the 9th. Our guests today, Ray Antonovich of AZ Farms, Sue Ellen Thompson Link of Cancuna Farms, Judith Sears-Poisson, our producer, and answering the phones as you call in. That number, by the way, 1-800-642-1234. And now let's turn to Michelle in Black River Falls. Hi, Michelle.
Hi. I've been to the festival many years. As the last caller mentioned, the classes are wonderful. The vendors, there's a lot of fiber and ways to use the fiber, like the spinning wheels and all that down there. So it's a wonderful place to go if you're into that sort of thing. I'm hoping one year to get down there and take my sheep. I raise Old English Southdown sheep, and they're an excellent dual-purpose breed. They're good for their meat, and they're good for their wool. Unfortunately, they're pretty rare in the United States right now, and over here they're known as baby doll sheep because they're so small. People think they're miniature sheep, but they're not. That's their original size, are these little bitty sheep. But out of a 120-pound ram that I had slaughtered at 2 years of age, I got 80 pounds of meat, and it tasted like a lamb. So.
Wow.
Pretty amazing.
So, baby Southdowns.
Baby doll Southdowns.
Ah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, Sue Ellen, do you have any of those?
No, I don't have any of those. I feel like we've got probably most of the breeds that could be possible on our farm. My children have always raised their own breeds of sheep, so we have some Navajo Churros and some Lincoln Long Wools, Shetlands, Icelandics. Got some of Ray's sheep were actually some of our original sheep on the farm.
Mm-hmm.
So we're pretty diversified, meeting sort of the fine fiber all the way through to the what type of wool we use more for the batting inside of the comforters.
Thanks for calling, Michelle. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate it very much. And Bill in Orfordville, it's your turn. Hi, Bill.
Yes, I'd like to say hello to Sue Ann. She has supplied us with our sheep out here. This is Bill and Ann out there. We're having a great time. The sheep are doing wonderful, and we are learning so much, and we will be at the festival. We couldn't be more excited about everything.
That's great. I'm glad they're sort of settling in. They've certainly got a great place to be.
Well, we love them, and I go down and let them out into the pasture every morning and talk to them, and they're beginning to talk back.
That I can believe.
Great story.
We'll see you all soon. It's great. It's sheep business is just wonderful. And we're in it for the wool. We've got some other organic livestock here, but we're building fence for more pasture, so we'll be expanding.
Wonderful. Thanks, Bill. Appreciate your call. Lots of people who have called in already have mentioned the courses and the classes that they've taken, and there's a real broad array of classes, everything from, I think, whatever, you almost name it, huh?
Right. There's a variety there that I have never heard of such activities or projects in the sheep industry, but it's very interesting. I'm working on the producer's educational programs, but one of these years I'm going to retire from this and go in for some of those classes and learn how to make pillows from wool. So I... Maybe I can kind of pester Sue Ellen to do that, but
Barbara,
a lot of interest in those products that we don't really think of too often.
Yeah, well, Barbara in Watertown has a question about pillows and wool. Hi, Barb.
Hi. Yes, I've never heard of a pillow made with wool, because I was wondering, doesn't that get rather patched? solid, or how is it made?
You know, it's really important the type of wool you select. So what you're wanting to do is to get a medium fiber, a wool that you probably would see on the majority of the white sheep around here with the black faces. And then you're going to have it milled and made into batts, which is basically putting the fiber all into an alignment so it's like in one continuous sheet.
Yes,
if you roll that up, I always tend to overstuff my pillows because you'll probably get about a 30% compression. But it's easier if you make it into batts because then you have a nice smooth surface to actually put your head on.
Okay.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling.
Good. Thank you.
Appreciate your call. You can join in, too, by the way, at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Give us a call. We have open lines to get you on pretty quickly. Carol posted on my Facebook page and says, this Saturday will be my first time attending, and I'm an avid knitter. What should I be sure not to miss? I also show dogs, so I'd be interested in viewing the sheep judging as well as the border collie herding. Any other breeds there for herding? So lots of questions there. What should she not miss since she's an avid knitter?
Well, I would say check out some of those demonstrations. If you have a catalog, that would be a good thing to kind of check out the schedule there. And definitely go through the two commercial exhibitors building. There's a lot of things to see there. And some fabulous yarn. I never thought of colors as we have now. We're getting such artistic touch here.
Brilliant colors.
Right, right. I've oodles of home-knit sweaters at home, but none of them are the colors that they are now.
It's quite phenomenal, actually, and the whole variety from the thickness of the fiber, not only the colors, but also the different textures that you can have. You really should just go through their catalog. There's lots and lots of classes. I think the thing that amazes me the most about the festival is how enthusiastic all the people are. Not only the vendors are being very happy to talk to anybody who would like to come and discuss wool and sheep, but also you'll find that people who have come back again and again just to extend their sort of skills. It's quite a phenomenal festival.
Mm. And again, they're not going to have time to get a copy of the program, but they can go online to the Wisconsin Sheep and Wool Festival. It's WisconsinSheepAndWoolFestival.com. That's the Facebook link. We've got a link on my Facebook page, too. You can just go there and click on it, and we'll send you right to it, which has all that information.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was sure of that. Also, I should mention we have links to Ray and Sue Ellen's farms. They're up on my Facebook page as comments to the status update for the program. So pretty cool there. Debbie in Milwaukee, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Great.
Good. Well, I have a question. I've been coming for a couple years now, and last year's the first time that I really sat down and watched the dog trials with the herding of the sheep.
Yeah.
But wonder, how do you find out, you know, what they're doing, why they're doing it? I know there's points involved in, I think, getting around some of the obstacles.
Mm-hmm.
So is there any place there to find out, you know,
how it's scored, yeah.
Yes, yeah. Ask some of the exhibitors and some of the people there. That is probably something that we should put a little bit more emphasis on as far as our programs.
That's a really good idea, Debbie.
I'll jot that down here.
It is fascinating to watch.
I'm. That's another thing that... I'm going to have to retire from my present responsibilities and go and watch more of that.
You bet. I don't have any sheep or anything like that, but I just enjoy seeing that, too.
Yes.
And I always wondered, like, what the heck are they doing?
Right. It is something that you probably would not go to that much, but here is something, and these dogs are fabulous.
Oh, yeah.
They're bet.
Yeah, and I've had, with Patricia McConnell, I've had a chance to, she's an excellent trainer, and of course, and so I've had a chance, she's even let me work her dog on some sheep, and it really is a lot of really interesting, and so I second Debbie there. I think you should have a little information for people on what they're doing with their hand signals and how they score.
Yeah, and what's expected of the dogs. And,
yeah, very. Yeah. Well, Ray's writing all this down, Deb.
And I will definitely ask, so no problem.
Okay. All right.
Forward to it.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. Let's see. Lori in Black River Falls, thank you for calling. Hi.
Good morning. And I'm a friend of Michelle here in Black River, but I raise Shetland sheep. And this is the first year that my husband and I are actually going to take a trailer full down. We've never shown our sheep at an event before. So it'll be quite a learning experience for us, so we're pretty excited.
Welcome. That'd be great to see you there.
One thing I want to mention about the dog training or the dog trials.
Yeah.
We have a German Shepherd, and then we have two Shetland sheepdogs. But and my Shepherd naturally does herd the sheep. But a couple years ago, I went down and watched where people could bring their dogs and work them and try them and see. And I learned so much just in that half hour about the difference in how the shepherd herds the sheep with her body, with movement. And I was trying to get her to stop and stand still like a border collie does. And so that was really interesting to sit and watch. And made a lot easier when I got back home and was working with my shepherd to let her do what came naturally to her rather than me trying to make her do something else.
Mm-hmm. Always very keen.
and for anyone that's a knitter, just to go down, there's so many things you learn about the different fibers and all the different patterns. There's patterns and things made up that you can't even imagine, that you don't even see in books. It's just wonderful.
Well, Lori, thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call.
You bet. Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate it. Comments, Sue Ellen?
I totally agree with you. I think that there is a wealth of information out there. It's amazing what people can make. I constantly, even though I have a booth there, I'm always very keen to walk around and see what else is out there and meet the people and have their discuss their new ideas. And it's quite inspiring.
What's your booth like?
Our booth is probably pretty unique. We're probably the only booth, Ray's laughing, the only booth with the bed. We actually have a cast iron bed. We have a lot of people volunteering to sleep on it. I really think we should have an on-site camera posted above it. Usually they lie down on the topper and the pillow and let out loud sighs of content. So you'll sort of see us there. We have a double booth. We're right in the center. There's two enormous barns, and they really are full of vendors. It's quite a wonderful place to be at.
Dorothy in East Troy, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi. We bought a lamb that was raised locally just a couple miles from where we live, and we're very disappointed that it had almost no flavor. You could hardly tell that you were eating lamb when you ate it. And I was just wondering, are there some breeds that taste better than others, or why might that happen?
Sure.
That may be a possibility. There's been minor studies done on that, and with the more breeds that we have now and so forth, and more the ways of preparing the meat is another thing. That may be one of it. You might try some different recipes, and there are many of them that are available. You can go on the internet and get recipes galore. There's not a lot of lamb recipes when we look through cooking magazines and so forth. But if we go to, well, the internet again, and go to the sheep industry itself, you can get an awful lot there. I know we do hand some out, and there should be some at the festival also.
Someone suggested to us that maybe it was slaughtered when it was too young, that it should have been more.
Well, how large was the lamb? How much?
It was pretty small.
Okay, well, that may be a possibility. But we do have a lot of ethnic groups that do have a smaller lamb for the meal for some of their holidays, holy dates.
Right.
But then again, it may depend on how they prepare it also.
I'm sorry. I was just going to mention, Judith was mentioning, recommends Middle Eastern recipes. They use lamb a lot, and those Middle Eastern recipes can be really delicious.
Yes.
And Sue Ellen, you were going to say something.
Yes, the comment I would be making too is it's also important to think about what the lamb is fed. It mm-hmm. does make a difference. I mean, you'll mm-hmm. notice the flavors of cheeses can vary depending mm-hmm. on whether they're grain-fed, grass-fed. That might be something also to look into, not only mm-hmm. looking at the breed of sheep, but also the type of feed that the animal has been given.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. This is John in Richland Center. Let's go to you next. Hi, John. Thank you for calling.
Hello. My uncle, who was ordained in Rome, he gave me the recipe for lamb patriarch, which comes from, I believe it was, the French Revolution time period.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a possibility to look that up. And the other one I was asking about, is it true that lambs and sheep get most of their drinking water from the dewgrass in the morning?
Well, when there is a dew on the grass, and we have been having some where my boots come in all soaking wet, mm-hmm. but they do get water there, and a lot of them will get a lot of it there. I know, I have one group of lambs that do get water from the grass. They really don't drink that much water otherwise. But we still have to have water out there, particularly when we get to these 90-degree temperatures.
Oh, yeah, which we're getting today, as a matter of fact. Email from Kathy. I have an old comforter that was made with thick batting from my husband's pet lamb. I want to have it dry cleaned so I can make it into a new comforter. Is that the best way to clean it? Sue Ellen, what do you think?
Well, yes, it depends. The type of customers I often have are not really wanting any chemicals, so the dry cleaning, my recommendation is to find an eco-dry cleaner that doesn't use the chemicals. If you're going to be doing the dry cleaning, I would suggest letting it air out over the clothesline just to take out that chemical smell. What you want to do, though, is if you're trying to restore an old comforter, when you take the batting out, if the batting is matted and is almost filtered together, it is going to be difficult to be able to get the loft or the sort of the airiness back into that wool. But it is a possibility, and good luck to you.
All right. Thanks very much for that email. Appreciate it. And here's another one. The judging, when the sheep are judged, does that judging take place each day, or is it?
Oh, pretty much. I would have to go and look at the catalog again.
Yeah.
But there are classes of Saturday and Sunday,
okay,
depending on the breed. And we do have some that are having their major show here with us. And so there could be a lot of them this year.
And Thomas in Manitowoc, this one may not be able to answer. He wonders what the expression pull the wool over somebody's eyes and or to get fleeced, where those comments came from. So Ellen, do you have any idea?
My suggestion to get fleeced sounds pretty Australian to me. You know, when you take the wool off a sheep, it's running pretty naked out there in the field. I don't know whether they're talking about everything being taken away from you, but I'm sure some of the sheep feel a bit unusual once they've been shorn. Pull the wool over someone's eyes? Well, it depends on the breed of sheep. Maybe they had these Lincoln long wools,
right,
which have got wool covering their face. They're certainly needing to have their fleece parted aside so you can actually see their eyes underneath.
All right, so that's a good guess. It's about as good a guess as any, I
good
think.
Good questions. Mm-hmm.
Well, let's go back over the events for the Wisconsin Sheep and Wool Festival. It's September 7th through the 9th. That's Friday through Sunday. Is it all day Friday as well?
I believe the doors officially open at 10 in the morning.
Okay.
But as far as the commercial booths are open then, or should be set up and ready to go by then. We start earlier with the classes, the 101 class on Friday. Remember, if you haven't signed up for that and you are interested, please contact Jill on the website, and we can get you squared away on that. There is a registration fee for the 101. It's an additional program to the rest of the festival, and you can still come then on Saturday and Sunday, and there'll be a lot more to see there.
And then of course the workshops are you have to sign up for those in advance.
Yes, you definitely need to, because there's many of them that do fill up. I saw the number, but I can't recall. As of a week ago, 28 of the fiber classes were already full.
Then, but there's still some that are open.
Oh, yes, there still are some.
So the place to go then would be to go to probably the Sheep and Wool Festival .com, Wisconsin Sheep and Wool Festival .com. And that's the Facebook. We have a link to that on my Facebook page as well. And you'll find out what, and in there you'll be able to tell if something's signed full or
right.
not.
Right. You can get signed up then if there is an opening yet.
All right. And again, your website, Sue Ellen?
Is the Baba Shop.
The Baba Shop, and that's B-A-A.
B-A-A. B-A-A Shop.
Baba Shop.
I also want to mention, you know, we've got the Hall of Breeds happening at this festival for those people interested in the different type of sheep out
right.
there. There's actually a special pole barn set aside to display the different breeds that are around here in the state that's worth seeing. There's also a lambing barn where some newborn lambs are there to see. We've got David Keir, who's a shearer, who's going to be demonstrating the shearing of sheep, which is certainly something to watch. It's quite amazing how he does it.
Yeah.
So there's a lot to do, lot to see. It's definitely
and you don't have to be a farmer for sure.
No, you don't. There are a lot of aspects that you do get involved in with wool clothing, as an example,
mm-hmm.
and you don't really think of the farming aspect of it. But it's becoming a very important part of your life. And it's a natural fiber as far as wool.
And, Ray, you're farming AZ Farm. Is that your, what's your website? Is AZ?
AZ-farm.com.
Oh, AZ-farm? A-Z Farm.
Right.
Yeah, there we go.
Mm-hmm.
A-Z Farm.com.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. All right. Well, Sue Ellen, great to meet you. Thanks so much for coming by.
It's been very enjoyable. Thank you.
And yes. Ray Antonovich, thank you so much.
Good.
Appreciate it very much.
It again, as usual.
Well, here we are. We've got the Wisconsin Sheep and Wool Festival, September 7th through the 9th. And.
Jefferson County Fairgrounds, Jefferson, Wisconsin.
There we go. We've been talking about sheep and wool and the sheep industry. Coming up next, we're going to talk about another great event that's happening this weekend, and that's the Quilt Expo. Nancy Zeman of Sewing with Nancy give us a little preview on that. And I want you to stay tuned. We'll be back here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.